Hey there, After Buzzers. Welcome back to Supergirl. This is Season 2, Episode 18, Ace Reporter. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We're all friends here, and we have missed you so, so much. And we're glad to have you back. While you're here, make sure you like and subscribe. Hit that thumbs up if you're on YouTube. Hit those five stars if you are on iTunes. Today, I am joined by my wonderful clapping panel. Starting from my left, Stephanie Winger.
Hi, good to be back. I feel like it's been a minute. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stephanie Winger.
Cool. Lex Michael.
I am Lex Michael, being there for you like I've been there before. And I am all over social media at TheLexMichael.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at BlackGirlNerds.com.
And on our chat, we got Licorice Lion.
Your job's a joke, you're broke, your love life's DOA. I'm Licorice Lion, guys. You can find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
I take that personally.
Yeah, I'm Licorice Lion. Just kidding. I'm Tari J. You can find me at Tari J, TARIJAY. Why don't we talk about this episode, guys? It was real good. I liked it. I'm going to get general thoughts. What did you guys think?
Raul Cole is a sexy beast! Okay,
Yeah?
I have feelings.
You're not wrong.
For those who don't know, that is Jack Sphere in this episode. Also, he's on iZombie. Yes, he's a very good actor.
Yes. Very handsome.
I'm sorry to objectify you, Raul Cole. It just came out.
I'm sure he got
that beard.
I love any man who puts the queen on his money.
Can I talk? This is a weird tangent, but his beard is usually longer in iZombie. It was weird seeing his mouth. That's a weird, like, small tangent. Anyway, I think...
I hope that's the clip that people use, like, when they're talking about this show and they're sending it on to their friend, Tari J. Miller. It was weird to see his mouth.
Yeah. It really was, guys.
So, I don't watch iZombie. Okay. I should be. I know. It's a great show. But I don't. And, I really enjoyed his performance in this, though I know that they both film, and correct me if I'm wrong, in Vancouver. So this must have been an easy little, like, trip over to Supergirl for him.
Sure.
Yes. I believe they're, like, a 15-minute walk away from each other, set-wise. Yeah. So I was reading the... Raul did an interview with comicbook.com earlier in the week talking about this episode, and he was like, I wasn't sure if I was going to get it. And they're like, was it weird being 15, like, minutes away from the set, not knowing you're going to get to be there, wanting to, like, as a DC fan, he's like... That was cool. It was going to happen or it wasn't. And I was like, oh my God, cool under pressure.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine for him, he's like, I guess I'll either make plans or I won't. Those are the extent of how it works. So what did you guys think of his portrayal of Jack Sphere, known as Biomax?
Jack Sphere is a relatively recent creation. First appeared in Power Company number 6 in 2002, and his comic book origin is similar to what we saw depicted here tonight. And overall, like, this episode I thought was really strong, but also it struck me how many, not just different storylines we are balancing at one time, but how many different types of stories we're balancing at one time. Mm-hmm. This episode was like a journalistic thriller, and it was like a romantic comedy, and there was like some sadness in it too, and then also there's some stuff that was straight up terrifying. Those little flying nano robot things.
I do not like swarms.
They're frightening.
No.
So like the fact that we could do all of it, and I shouldn't be surprised because this show has usually proven to be pretty adept at doing all of these things at once, but I think it still continues to be notable how you can do so many disparate types of stories within 1 hour and have it feel of a piece.
Right. It was very cohesive.
I want to know what Stephanie thinks about the journalism episode. Coming back, hitting the news hard, being truthful.
I was really excited about the journalism side of things. It did feel like a major switch from what we had about a month ago that the last episode aired, and it feels like a very different show. You know that they're gearing into the end of the season at this point. But a lot of fun with the journalism for journalism nerds like me. And then I appreciated just a lot of the special effects tonight as well.
Yeah.
Incredible. Really great work.
Yeah.
Speaking of journalism, I have a journalism question.
You can, yeah, go for it.
I
don't know if I'll be able to answer it, but go for it.
Well, I mean, it really revolves around... So, Kara goes to Jimmy because she wants to, like, essentially report on the fact that Biomax is a little shady, and so she decides to file a FOIA.
Yeah.
Freedom of Information Act.
Yes. I don't know anything about that. Tell me about that.
So, certain things are supposed to be made publicly available.
Yes.
And that form essentially allows you to obtain that information, more or less.
Sweet.
Is that that's a very simple explanation for a complex.
I'm not a journalist, but that is my understanding of how that's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah. I mean, that's a very yes.
Cool. Yep. Yes. That was me being the audience proxy, just in case they were like, what is that? I was like, let's give them some scoop.
Yeah, so...
Tori Miller speaks for us.
Yes. Tori Miller, the man of the people.
Yeah. He even mentions in the episode, like, you can look that up. That's public information. And that's what that would allow you to do.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Speaking of, the most snapper car we've gotten in quite some time, and I love this man.
I love that.
And it's just like we got a bowl of snapper out of the fridge where it's been sitting for a little while. We put it in the microwave. We put some Tabasco and sriracha in there. We made it all spicy, and then we just put it in front. I was like, "Eat it, eat the snapper," and it was great.
Snapper was salty tonight when he tried to take over Kara's question at the press conference. I was like, "Damn, Snapper, you are really upset with her." Because he never comes off as vindictive to me. He's like a guy of like the rules and like getting to the truth, but. We get to see, like, another side of him, and when he's angry, he can be mean.
Yeah, though, it comes around at the end, but, like, I like that moment mostly because it shows how much, like, he was hurt by Kara, how much faith he put in her, and how betrayed he felt. So, and I love that it kind of found its way back around. So we have this, we have all these moments between Kara and Snapper where he's kind of, blocking her from getting her information out there, so she's out on her own trying to get this information. I mean, this is our first time being able to have Sleuth Kara. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you guys...
Sleuther girl.
Hashtag Sleuther girl.
My work here is done.
All right.
And for all of you in iTunes, Lex just disappeared. I think he's going to be gone for the rest of the episode.
And of course, for those of you watching live, my disappearance will be added in post.
Yes.
Yeah, he drops the mic, like, physically, in post, yeah.
Yeah.
And disappears.
So, yeah, I mean, what did you guys think about, especially the whole sequence of the whistleblower meeting up with Kara and her essentially surviving a car explosion?
That was bonkers and was very chilling because you put Kara in a position where, I mean, and again, that whole storyline could have played without superpowers. It felt like, you know, like All the President's Men type of storyline, and you're getting closer and closer to a dangerous truth, and you fear for her not as a hero, but as a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she literally is next to this dude in a car bombing and is powerless to save him, and that's heavy.
And two, the ending of that, like, just the her clothes burning and then the S coming through, I was like, oh my god, that is just, that needs to be the image before every show open of, like, this is Kara Danvers.
Mm-hmm. I need someone to Supergirl fact check me either on the panel or in the chat. Is this the first human that Kara hasn't been able to save? I know she's had to put a bullet in an alien who could not be saved. I know that she's had to let some people go, but they didn't necessarily die, but she couldn't turn them good. But has she not been able to save a human person before? I don't think so. And if this is the first time, it's kind of a huge feat for her because the Kara I think that we knew maybe even just a month ago was much more reactionary and emotional. Mm-hmm. And I'm liking that we get to see her evolving into this person who can not just keep a cool head, but is willing to then take responsibility for her actions later.
Right. I am on the other side of the fence. I feel like she kind of blew past the fact that she let two people die. She was like, they died. I couldn't stop them. How sad. Truth.
I don't know that she let them die.
Yeah.
She was not really... To be fair, in that position, she had maybe half a second to, like, get into her Supergirl outfit and shield him with a cape, and there's not enough time. There's not when you don't even have a second to assess what is happening, let alone react. What could she have done?
Well, she's got super speed, but it's a bunch of tiny robots. Like, at best, she could, like, grab him by the ankles and twirl him really fast to try to, like, shake the nanobots off.
Right.
But she's got no other recourse. She has no idea what's controlling them, where they're coming from, and they just explode. And she couldn't even see them coming, because they came, like, through the tailpipe of the car.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think she blew by it.
And the chat has answered some of the questions. Actually, apparently in season one, it happened a lot. Like, last season, she didn't save that woman that fell off the Catco building. And then when she lost her powers, there was a guy in that episode as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, Kara has grown and matured as a person, and people have died before, so, you know.
Matured or become callous and unfeeling.
You can't save everyone.
Hot takes. Hot takes.
You can't save everyone, Tara. You could try.
So many hot takes.
She almost spiraled.
That's what the J is for. Mm-hmm. The J and Tara J is just one more hot take, you guys. I can't keep it in. I got thoughts, I got feelings, just one more.
It's hyphenated.
Yeah, that's why he just says J, you know, shortened.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, but she almost spiraled, which was like, I killed two people. But then Caramel came together and saved the day. He's I got this. Yeah. Just don't even worry about it.
I really enjoyed their time. I mean, I really enjoy Mon-El as a character. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that they could just do this. I can't call it a heist, but it was a kind of a heist of Sphere to or Spherical to try to get this information and just having them play off of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, their chemistry is so good on the show, off the show, all of it. It's just they're adorable. And, like, yeah, I mean, every scene, they really, like, make it a moment in a show. And I think in a show with this many storylines, as you mentioned, it's impressive that they do that time and time again.
Yeah, and I love that they had him just being there to help her in one scene, because I know that some people have complained about him being in too much. But this was, like, just him as a background character there to support her, and that was great. Like, he had the little flashlight, and he's like, that romantic bastard. He was so cute.
He was adorable this episode. And super helpful. Like, I like, it took so long for them to kind of, like, get on the same page and figure out their needs as a couple. And now that they've nailed that down, I like the show isn't hammering us home with, like, oh, they're in love. Like, this is what love looks like when the honeymoon phase, like, cools off. They're just, like, in sync and ready to go and ready to help each other. Even when she was, you know, going into weird stalker territory, he's like, yeah, okay, I got your back. It's weird, but I'm here. And his banter with Raul Coley's character, Jack. When he's stealing his car, like, I feel like a bro, a man thing.
Yes.
It was lovely. Whatever was happening there, it was beautiful.
Yes. Yes. The bonding moment.
Yes, the man connection.
Yes, like, we should totally hang out. Like, there was the man action. Yeah. Yes. There were a number of really wonderful bro love moments.
Yeah.
Mutual or not, they were still lovely.
They were really great. Speaking of love, though, we find out that Lena was once in love with Jack, and she was...
This must have been difficult for you.
It really was. It was hard.
But, like, everyone has a past, Tari.
I know. But, she was
willing to kill him, so, you know.
So there's that. There's that little
pathways
bit of...
Pathways are opened.
Oh, yeah. And now that he's dead, like, she's ready for me to just slide in there.
Just one more hot take, you guys.
Yeah. You're her future, Tari.
Yeah. We are OTP. Just don't even worry about it. It'll happen.
I'm interested to hear how fans who ship Lena and Kara are dealing with this discovery. I was on the Twitter and people were having emotions and thoughts because they really want Lena and Kara to be together, and they would be one sweet lesbian couple, I'm not gonna lie. It'd be amazing. But also, you know, Raul and Lena are kind of cute. Jack, I should call him by his character name. Jack and Lena would be pretty cool too.
No, yeah.
They seem sweet and in sync, you know?
Yes, they were really cute together, and I liked how sincere their moments were when he was trying to get them back, and there was a lot of heart. Like, they were painting him to be a serial killer, and even through that, you're like, man, I really want them to be together.
Yes.
Yeah, didn't I say that I'm the person that would probably get murdered? Because anytime there's ever, like, a serial killer on TV, I'm like, oh, man, he's just so hot. I'd get murdered straight up.
Is it because serial killers are often bearded with great brows, or like, actors are cast that way? Or is it the killing part? Because I feel the same way. Like, bad guys are hot. What can be done about it? They're just there being sexy.
I will let one murder slide per well-kept brow.
Yeah. Yes,
that's the rule. So, and I think
Max, two murders.
And look at he's got two eyebrows, killed two people this episode. Yeah. It would have all shook out.
See, that's how Michael C. Hall could play Dexter for years and get away
just
with it.
Just kept working perfect those brows. And they're like, we love you, bro. It's all right. You do your thing.
Yeah, that scene where he almost kills Hannah. Oh.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm not nice anyway. Brows.
Okay.
I'm kidding. So you don't subscribe to the brow theory?
I'm down with it. I just really want to keep talking about Lena.
That's
right.
Yeah.
So,
and Billie Jean Girl 24 says Lena is free for you, Tori.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, so we're jumping around a little bit anyway, but since we're talking about Lena, I want to shout out what, for me, maybe single greatest moment of the entire episode was her assertion that she's never stood behind a man.
Yes!
Where we all started going, whoa!
Yes!
Okay. And we watch with other people in the room, just like, we're like in a workplace, and people...
Yeah, we watch with headphones on, though, so they have no clue what we're reacting to. They just all of a sudden see this big group wave happening. Yeah. It's like, they must like that show.
We were ultra excited about it. No, it's a great, and it fits so well in the theme of this show, which is always girl power, and... Again, tonight we saw that.
Yeah, and I also liked, especially in that showdown, we get another really interesting, really cool female villain from Supergirl, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
I mean, this show is really good about having a very diverse and, like, a nice collection of female villains, which isn't a very common thing. Mm. And I thought that having that big twist was a really nice touch.
I love the twist. Didn't see it coming at all. I thought for sure that Jack was just evil. I couldn't see his plan. I was like, okay, so releasing the things, but money? And then that chick was so smart. She was like, kill you? No, I'm going to merge with LexCorp. What are you thinking about? I was like, yes, she is awesome. I hope she breaks out and tries more dastardly things. We only got a little bit of her, but she was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ivan Soto says, Lena and Tori sitting in a tree.
Yeah.
It always gets weird.
Was that weird, though? I mean...
We can do a group vote later.
Chris, I'm going to need you to start a poll on Twitter.
All right, I'll do that right now. Was that creepy?
Oh, man. They're going to be like, was what creepy?
Yeah. Don't clarify. Just, either you know or you don't know. Was it creepy?
Fans, you can make a GIF of this moment with text at the bottom, and then everyone can vote. Each one of you do a different poll so that we get a large variety of data.
The biggest possible sample size.
I am really making this poll just so everybody knows.
Like. And while you're making that poll, why don't you also go over to iTunes and rate and subscribe to this podcast/YouTube show.
What?
So that every week you can hear us do all the jollies and the laughs and the funs and the jokes.
I want to hear us do the funs. Is it that easy?
It's
just that simple?
That easy. And you know what else it is? It's free.
What?
Hell yeah. It's... You would pay lots and lots of dollars for this variety of humor. You don't even have to go to a club. You can enjoy this from your car. You can enjoy it from your kitchen. You can enjoy it from the treadmill at the gym.
This bastion of professionalism and nuance.
Oh, yeah.
I full-on Kitty Powers it in the car, guys.
Hell yeah.
And... it's just that simple. And if you leave a comment below in YouTube, we usually respond on YouTube. If you leave a comment on iTunes, we will read it here on the air, and everyone will be like, oh crap, that person left all those stars. I should do that too. And that could be you.
Oh, yeah, we do have a comment here.
Oh, yeah? Ooh. Ooh. Why don't we get the jazz music queued up?
Oh, yeah, we gotta make it sexy time.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy jazz.
In case this is your first Supergirl after show, we like to jazz it up here during the reviews.
Yes.
And we like to make it real, real intimate.
I will voicing Careless Whispers.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Well. Go ahead.
Because we've got Katie Lee 422, 5 stars. I love you guys and love this show. I love how often you point out forward thinking and progressive this show is. I totally agree and still surprises me almost every week. And I love having a group like you that I feel I can get excited about that with. Alex's coming out story was one of the first I've seen that felt really realistic and was about a real character development rather than just a dramatic plot twist. And seeing stories like that and having people like you who are rooting for and championing for character and her story has really been helpful to me in my own recent adult coming out experience. Keep doing your thing.
Ooh.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
That touched my heart.
Yeah,
that was
so sweet.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a lovely comment.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, Jacob Alvers, for your lovely comment here in the chat. Yeah, professional. Talking about juices and alien sex. It's like,
hell yes.
That hasn't been mentioned one time this whole episode.
Thank you for bringing it and keeping our levels of alien sex up to standard.
Thank you, because we hadn't talked about it yet, but that poll is live, guys, so you got to tell me whether you thought Tari was creepy about Lena Luthor, yes, no, or what the fudge are you talking about?
Yeah. Hashtag Tina. Hashtag Tina. Would you prefer Linari?
Linari?
Yeah, Linari. I like Linari.
Sounds like an alien name.
It does sound like
Tina
an alien
is a
hashtag
name.
Hashtag Linari.
Because Tina is a slang name for methamphetamine. It's where I come from.
Oh,
so.
You learn something new every day.
That's Tina.
Come for the Supergirl chat, stay for the drug euphemism and the juice discussion.
It took a real turn. It took
yeah.
a real dark turn.
Everybody drink.
So I want to circle back to Snapper Carr for a second.
Yes, please.
So we have this great moment at the end with him and Kara, where she brings him a disgusting baked good. And he essentially gave her the byline because she provided all this research. And I liked this moment because, as we were talking about earlier, it shows how far she had fallen in his eyes and the work it took for her to get back to where she needed to be.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think that she showed that she's has the same ethics that he does. She wants to figure out the truth. She wants to be, like, get reliable sources. These are the things that he's been pushing all season on her. And then she finally came back around and showed that she's after the same thing. She wants a story that, you know, she can stand behind. And mm-hmm. and that was what was the game changer for her.
Yeah, and you know, to win Snapper back over, she had to earn it. And she did, fully. And adding her name to the byline is such a, what a, like, a sweet, like, beautiful gesture. Like, I'm straight up, like, getting emotional at the end of this episode going, like, it's there, her name is there. And he said, thank you. What a big fucking, big day for Snapper Girl. That's how moved I am. I can't contain it. No, but it was a great moment. And I wasn't expecting somebody with the gruff exterior of a Snapper Carr to allow himself that moment of, like, quiet vulnerability.
He makes, and we know that there's so much more we don't know about him, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know more. Like, I never thought he could replace Kat. You know, because Kat was such a presence on the show, and for a long time, I'm like, we are missing our Kat. We are missing the strong directional force, this person who can help shape Kara's life. And I kind of, like, looking back now, having binged all of season one and coming up to this point, I'm kind of glad of how it worked out, because to see how does Kara work on her own without someone that she can constantly go to and kind of get that course correction, and then how does she deal with somebody who isn't very excited to, like, promote her, who just wants her to do the work. And then today we get to see her do something that I think, at least I know I've been complaining about for a long time, where I'm like, I love you, Kara, but you're kind of stuck up. You're very into your own world, and you always think you're right, and you're right a lot of the time. today we saw that she's capable of so much more, that she's capable of humility, and she's capable of trying things a different way, the right way. That is really exciting for me in her development. And I am now aboard the caramel ship. I am there with it. I am excited for it. I think they are good for each other and doing good things for each other. It's very exciting.
I'm so glad you joined.
I come here.
I'm here.
It's been a long time coming.
I like that he took her messages while she was out.
Yes. He's our little manservant.
Not even that. I was like, look at them. Look at them, like, cohabitating. Yeah. It's what we were talking about before, about, like, okay, we're out of the honeymoon phase, and this is two people in these extraordinary circumstances having a relationship. And I love that they, even if it's in the midst of these crises that they have to deal with, I love that they make room for very real, relatable little, like, yeah, this is what two people who live together would be doing.
Well, I think that it's something that we see on The Flash as well. It's continually, you see these real moments between these characters in a world that is clearly so crazy and superhero and all these things, but, like, it's something that I noticed on The Flash, and they're doing it, again, so well on Supergirl.
It's like rage baking. Like, seeing how close Lena and Kara are, the fact that she knows that this is a habit of hers right away. Even small details, like the fact that when Kara reaches in the oven, like, she don't need to oven mitt. Her hands are going to be fine. I was like, this is incredible. She's reading. I was like, oh, but she's Supergirl. She doesn't need oven mitts. These tiny attentions to details that really build and solidify the world for us.
Yeah, and Mrs. Eek on Twitter said, why does depression on CW equal baking? Is Kara sharing a brain with Rip Hunter from Legends of Tomorrow?
I would watch that crossover. That'd be amazing. No, but I also liked a weird little felt a little anomalous, but we got that interesting POV shot from the point of view of the tray of baked goods. I don't know if it was cookies or what. And I was like, oh, that's very, that felt more like Breaking Bad-ish to see a shot.
Yeah, that's fair.
From the POV of a random object, like they would do all the time on that show. I was like, hey, that's different. I like it. Yeah. Are these cookies sentient? Can we explore that some more?
Yeah,
I think it was a souffle.
Was it? I don't.
Cookie Monster becomes a real horror movie. No.
What if Cookie Monster was made up of those nanobots? And he's just like, I'm gonna take your cookies. And he turns into a swarm because it kills that guy. But he's got the great eyebrows, so no one's mad.
Pitcher to Spielberg, he's got the.
Or gotcha. Sausage Party, you know.
So, speaking of anger baking, and Lena. Lena's real sad and angry after the death of her ex-boyfriend.
After she killed her ex-boyfriend.
Well, sort of.
She did pull the plug. Like, it wasn't murder.
Yes.
It was merciful, but she was the one to do it.
Yes. And I liked this little piece where she's very numb, and she's wondering who she's going to be on the other side of her grief.
That the moment where she talks about how she's not feeling anything and then she thinks of the person who did this to her dying in prison, like, that's very, that felt so raw and uncomfortably honest, because I feel like I think we've all experienced loss in some form, and you go to these places that are not, they're not good places to be, and it was such a very dark moment, but it was all the darker because it's like, yeah, like, if you're not careful, you can start to sit in that feeling a little too much, and it can turn you into somebody that maybe you didn't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with her past and her ties. Like, that person could literally die in prison based on a word that she gives.
Listeners, don't be mad at me, but I've been saying for a long time that I want evil Lena. I know she's genuinely good! I know it! But, I mean, we were getting so close that she might go
here. Biggest reason I want an evil Lena, even a Lena that flirts with the other side of that line, is because we saw that Luthor mech suit earlier in the season, and I need it. I need Luthor mech suit fight, the green and purple suit, and who else is going to put that on? Her mom's not going to put that on.
She might.
Yeah, I can see her.
What I thought was so interesting, though, was that in this scene, you kind of saw that she is always striving to be good, but you saw that she understands there's the other half, or there's some part of her that could turn, I feel like, the other direction, but she's striving to stay good.
She's Anakin Skywalker. She's constantly lured to the dark side. She wants to do good.
Yeah.
But
she
maybe
was born completely of midichlorians.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, midichlorians aren't a thing that exists anymore. We don't talk about them. They're fake. I would really.
The Biomax was midichlorians. Mm.
There was no father.
Okay. Lucretia, I feel like you had something to say.
I was just going to say, I mean, that's sort of the struggle of most supervillains, is most of them start out wanting to do something good in their mind, and then they tend to go the path of evil when crap hits the fan. But I am with Tori. I don't want that for Lena. I want Lena to be, like, Kara's confidant, her friend outside of the DEO and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like to revise my statement and say a permanently evil Lena is not what I'm after. I like Lexa. I just think it's really good dramatic tension if she, like, goes, and not for vain or selfish reasons, but because she sees a means to an end. But, like, her and Kara is, like, friendship love saves the day. Where she's like, you don't have to be this person. And I told you I would always be with you because Kara keeps her, like, promises.
Yeah, but it's like, now I have to stop you. But you're my friend and there's love.
Like, don't you want this? Oh,
but you're wearing a robot suit that looks awesome. So we gotta fight.
My kryptonite is actually kryptonite,
you
guys.
You guys mean the end of season one? When they did it with Alex? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but this one has the different colors and it looks like the other one that we know from the
also,
books.
Alex, like, I can never believe Alex going evil. Like, Alex went, like, rogue. Like, you were like, Alex, get back here. Like, don't do that. That's wrong.
Well, technically, she was mind controlled, but
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You did just point out, we did see the thing that I want to see already, where we didn't see it with that paint job, and that is specifically where I need these lines to
intersect. It has to be purple and green.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think I would. If the best case scenario is that we get Lena in the suit, and we get Alex in her suit, and Supergirl all fighting together,
I think that
would be the best case scenario.
So she's using her suit for good. She's not fighting them.
Yes.
Okay.
I accept this.
Got it. Cool. Now that that's done, I want to take a little time to talk about Guardian, because we had a whole, like, B story? It was like a B and a half story.
Yeah.
Where we get Guardian win. Trying to integrate Lyra into the team.
So this storyline gave me my single biggest lingering question from this episode, possibly the entire season thus far. What was that dessert that Wynn brought her? Because it looked like rocks with a leaf on top.
No, it was a bouquet of chocolate-covered strawberries.
Edible arrangements. Okay. They don't die. Yeah. They're delicious.
Because it looked like cartoon rocks with a leaf on top.
No, that was definitely chocolate-covered strawberries.
Someone sent you chocolate-covered strawberries. We're gonna fix this.
Not in a bouquet. I've seen, like, the boxes, but I have not.
Looks like Lex isn't a romantic, am I right?
It's okay.
It's alright. I'm just gonna drink some more.
Hashtag, no Lex life.
Oh, no!
All right. You guys said 5 stars to rejuvenate Lex immediately. It's getting sad.
Oh, jeez.
I accept your terms, harsh though they may be.
So I had conflicting feelings about this story arc.
As did I.
I really like Lyra as...
Lyra.
I really like Lyra as a character, and I love her relationship with Wynn. I feel like it's too early for Guardian to take on a mentor role.
I wasn't sure. This kind of came out of left field for me, to be honest. I liked it in the end, I think, the storyline, but I wasn't expecting it to go there, and that I felt like we were just kind of getting into this bromance between the two, between Wynn and Guardian, and I wanted more of that. I didn't need a third person in that, but I got it.
For me, the biggest issue I had, which is didn't kill it for me, but it was like, okay, we're really leaning into the crazy a little bit, like a little bit much, to the point where by the end of that storyline, I was great. It's like, obviously we mended those fences and we got back together and we're gonna go save kittens that hopefully she will not devour. But by the end of that, I'm shipping Wynn and Jimmy harder now. Yeah. And I love Wynn and Lyra together, but it was a lot. The aggressive crazy was a lot.
I just kind of liked these storylines separate. It's weird to say that. And, like, I was fine in the end with them all coming together. Like, I liked the end result of it, I guess, that, like, they're going to be a team and they're figuring it out, but I just felt like it was an odd way to get there.
The cheese stands alone. What is happening over here? I love this storyline. Here's why. When your best friends are dating someone especially when they start dating someone who is all consuming as Lyra is, which is, I love Lyra and Wynn, don't get me wrong, but it can be hard and alienating. As Jimmy mentions here, he hasn't had a friend since Superman. He like,
I mean, the other time I almost cried.
That was heartbreaking.
It was so beautiful and moving. And I like this idea of like, dude, I don't want your girlfriend here. Like, this was a thing that we were doing, and now you bring your freaking girlfriend into it, and she's always here. You guys are always on top of each other. And it's really like, it was a little bit teenagery. I'll give it to you. Like, I understand. Like, this is probably not how like matured adults in their 30s running giant corporations usually interact with one another. But I liked the teen drama of it. It worked for me. I could totally resonate with this feeling of, like, I don't want this person here. And then being like, you know what? I accept that she's in your life, that you love her. I see how unhappy you both are when you're not with each other. I'm going to try to make this work, but you can't beat up children. It's gold, man! Well, it's great!
And the chat, like, Jacob Alders points out that Lyra was so out of character with the crazy freak out a little bit. And I was like,
that's my big thing. Yeah. Because, like, Joe, I agree. Like, I like everything that was there. And that's really the one thing where I'm going, I don't mind that we did it, but it feels like we did that, and now we're ignoring that her reaction was extreme, like real extreme.
Yeah.
And maybe this is something we'll come back around to by the end of the season, but it was a little bit like, should we be concerned about you?
Yeah.
When she broke the bottle and like threw the...
And maybe it's just like she's super powered and she's just like having a day, and like he brought her rocks with a leaf on it, and like how are you supposed to eat that?
I do worry that Wynn could not break up with her safely and like be okay. Like maybe she would snap on Wynn. I kind of get that, I guess.
It's not even like, suddenly you're a scary monster and we gotta get, it's just like, should we have like a conversation about this? Like that's literally all it would have completely, I think, fixed it for me. But I'm like, are we not? I'm so glad that we're now here at the end where we're all happy and doing a team up again, but
yeah.
Shouldn't we talk about
it? Was just, I loved how they like bookend it with a weird cat line where he's like, I don't even know, she's kidding, and he's like laughing. I was like, oh, Wynn is like, I know I'm in trouble, but it's fun.
I just wonder if that's like some foreshadowing of what's to come. Yeah. Like, I feel like to get that big of a reaction and then kind of have it not be addressed leads me to wonder if there will be more of that in this last few episodes of the season.
Yeah. I mean, though, in her defense, like, he did technically fire her. Like, in like, the worst way possible.
Well, I mean, yeah, you don't want to mix business with, like, your relationship. I mean, that's, like, something that's always talked about. But, yeah, and they definitely
it's like all these characters do on these shows.
Yeah, but, like, they definitely, like, he did not handle it well.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The wording might have been better. Yeah. Especially when she was like, for how long? Oh, forever.
Yeah.
Like a little trial. Yeah. Like, you're just done.
Fair. All right. We can maybe call it a wash, I guess. Yeah. I guess we'll call it a wash. I concede. Okay. I concede. I accept your terms, harsh though they may be, sir.
And he posts all of them. He disappeared again. Oh, man. He only comes in like a wind. He makes a comment and disappears again. He is the mist. Anyways.
Lex Angel Mind Freak.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time, unless anyone has any other comments.
Well, shouldn't we talk about the end, Terry?
Yes.
Or do you want to wait for predictions?
Yes, I was going to introduce it in a predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
All right. So the last scene of the episode that we get is Rhea coming to Lena to propose a business idea. And as far as we know, Lena doesn't know who Rhea is. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that could come from this.
Yes.
What do you guys think some of those things are? What do you think the proposition is?
What's the quote? Be wary of a woman who's cut her hair, for she's about to make a change or something like that. Make big changes? Something powerful? Things are happening. She's got the hair cut.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. Lena just met Mon-El. She hasn't like spent any time with him. She has no idea who this woman is, and she's in a low place. And I think that she'll take whatever she has to offer, some whatever like handout she has. I'm wondering if it'll be directly to take down Supergirl, or if it'll be a much more roundabout corporate espionage kind of thing. I'm kind of hoping for the corporate espionage, because I feel like we haven't had a lot of that this season, and I like corporate espionage.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I feel like she's coming at Lena when Lena is in a dark place, in a place where she may be more open to entering into a bargain she may not have been open to a week ago. I don't believe that if the exchange was, I'll do this for you, but you have to essentially give up Supergirl, I don't know that Lena's that far gone yet, but I do think maybe there's more of a roundabout way that it can be played.
Yeah, she's definitely going to be a force to pull Lena towards that evil side. Mm. Like, she, like, whether Lena or not does that or not, I think is to be determined, but it's going to be a definite force in her life pulling her that way.
And it's like, you can handle one evil mom in a season of TV, but when you got two evil moms coming at you, both evil mom fronts, that's a heavy burden to shoulder, even if you got the green and purple robot suit, which I want to see that suit, you guys. I really want to.
I can tell. I thought of it differently in that we know that Rand knows that Kara is both Kara and Supergirl. And so her keeping tabs on Kara means that she could know that Lena is her friend. So she could be using Lena to get to Kara. Mm. So essentially she's just luring her into a trap.
Right.
I mean, it would be cool if Lena became hip to what was going on. Like, she really managed her mom. Like, she, the trap she set, and she, like, executed it so perfectly and took her down, and it was swift and it was flawless. I would love it if we could get round two of that, and maybe, again, a more dubious espionage way. I mean, maybe I just like the word espionage.
All right. And so, in the preview for next week, we get a Jigsaw type situation where Alex is trapped and Supergirl is being extorted to rescue someone's dad. So I think that there's a lot of potential, though these previews have been somewhat more menacing than the episodes themselves.
True. Yes.
So do you guys think it will be kind of a Saw situation, or you guys think it'll maintain the tone that it usually does?
I don't think they're going to go that dark with this show. They tend to have, like, there are dark moments, but I don't think it's going to be a full episode of darkness. I think you're going to see her struggle and, again, fight to, like, save her sister. That's an ongoing kind of, I don't want to call it a theme, but an ongoing storyline that we see repeatedly on the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out a crazy-ass prediction and say that Lynn has a long-lost sibling. And they're trying to break his father out of prison. I like it because it's kind of puzzly and, like, kind of like quiz mastery. I just want Wynn to have to face his father again. I'm not sure why. I need that storyline again. We've done it. He's, like, processed it and moved on. Maybe I need Wynn to have, like, his life has just been, like, so good lately. Right. Like, I'd like to see Wynn face some trauma.
Yeah, you just want to see it again with a different paint job.
Yeah, exactly. Put the suit on!
Am I the only person who's happy to see Wynn happy?
I love Wynn, but also, I like when characters have to overcome things, and right now, his life is just roses. He's got his best buddy, fighting crime, like, his hot girlfriend, like, everything is perfect.
Maybe eating cats.
He's winning. Yep. What do you think? Do we have anything from the chat?
So they were just talking about, you know, there was some news about the episode next week where, you know, Alex is in danger and Kara and Maggie have to work together, and then they butt heads. So they're talking about how that's going to go. And that'll be interesting, but yeah, I would like to see Toy Man again, but I don't think it'll be in that episode.
Yeah, I doubt it. Yeah. By butt heads, do you mean they go in for a kiss and then their heads hit each other and they like, this is a bad idea?
Yeah, I think that's what they were really going for. They just didn't know.
But I feel like if a Kryptonian headbutts you, doesn't your head explode or shatter or collapse in on itself?
Maybe.
I mean, Maggie's, she has a hard head, so maybe it just dents in a little bit, and then she, like, puts her finger in her mouth and, like, pops it back out with using air.
It's those nanobots.
Yeah. Some sweet, sweet nanobots.
Sweet nanoswarm. Tube, squeeze it out like toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
Brush on chompers, nano chomper
Thanks
paste.
For joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. we really appreciate you guys coming back every week. Welcome back after a long hiatus. And make sure to follow us every week and between the shows on different social medias. Where can they find you? Stephanie Winger.
You can find me at Stephanie Winger all over social media. And please tune in tomorrow to our Pretty Little Liars after show.
Lex Michael.
That's who I am. I'm all over social media at TheLexMichael. And obviously, we're here every Monday talking about Supergirl. Tari and I are still talking about Arrow on Wednesdays for the rest of the season. Fargo's back, so I'm talking about that with Dave Child, who you know from Legends of Tomorrow panel. We do that on Thursdays. It's great. We love you. Be there with us.
Too soon.
Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. Every week at blackgirlnerds.com. We just started Gotham today, so check that out. We'll be here every Monday. Season finale of Powerless on Thursday, along with Riverdale, which is great. Watch it. Also, Wednesdays, you can find me over at Schmoes No, talking to the guys over there, saying hey. And tomorrow, go to blackgirlnerds.com and check out my review of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Cool, Lucretia Lyon.
Hey guys, since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And be sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, because once I hit 10K, I'm giving out a sweet box of stuff with exclusives from Skybound, E3, and all sorts of nerdy crap. One lucky fan from each platform will get one.
Nice. Yeah. And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's TauriJay. You can also find me here on the DC CW ABTV slate. That is Supergirl, Flash, Arrow.
Get it.
Yep, that's the whole slate.
Tabernacle. I'm just saying black things now.
Is that a good part?
Oh, yeah, that's totally. Right. Just be a tabernacle or preach.
So.
Take your time, Richard.
please, join us every week here on AfterBuzz TV, 10 o'clock Monday nights for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, time is counting down. Mm. So, until next week, have a super time. Have a super time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Tabernacle! I guess.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.